You know, there was a man a long time ago who did what he could to live for Christ. He made the greatest effort that he could possibly make to live for Christ. He told others about God. He told other people about God's Son. And he also told other people that they could have some tremendous benefits if they would give their life to Christ. He encouraged young preachers to preach because he realized that, you know, this is an occupation that a lot of people don't want. They don't want any part of it. So he would encourage the youngsters to grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in understanding so that someday you will want to be a part of leading other souls to Christ. But you know, he, in doing all of these things, and he had a wonderful attitude about this, but his life was never easy. And the reason that it was not easy is because he chose the life that he led. His work took him all over the place. And you know, it was a time that was before cars and trains and planes, and most of his riding was on horseback or on foot. But yet he went anyway. He went to new places that he had never been before. He would teach other people about Jesus and about his sacrifice. Unfortunately, he also had people that would disagree with him, argue with him about what he was teaching. Some made fun of him. Others went even further. When they would come upon him, they would hit him, slap him, beat him, leave him on the roadside, hurt. Eventually, some of the bigwigs in religion in one city brought him out and brought him before the courts and claimed that he was against everyone because of what he was teaching. So they put him in prison. And he stayed in prison there, and he waited a trial, and it was like the trial never came. And he stayed there for the longest time. Finally, the trial came, and he was found guilty of what the people had made up about him. And he was sentenced to death. He knew that he was going to die. But even with all of these things that was going on in his life, all of these things that was happening to him, he still placed his trust in God. Shortly before he was executed, he sent a letter to a young man to encourage him, "Don't give up. Even though this has happened to me, and it could happen to you, don't give up the faith. Don't give up the fight." Later on, that man was actually looking forward to what was about to happen to him. He was joyful at the fact that he had lived his life in service to his King. He was looking forward to a glad reunion with those who he loved that he knew was on the other side. And he knew that his life had been spent in harmony with God. And he knew his destination. Beyond any shadow of a doubt in his mind, he knew that heaven would be his home. Even though all of these things had gone wrong with him in life, he was joyful because the greatest thing that could happen to him is about to happen. I do hope that you realize by now who this person is. It was the great Apostle Paul. He faced death with confidence. He faced death with assurance. After becoming a child of God, he lived his life yearning for this moment so he could leave this world and be with his God. My question is, What could possibly make a man this confident in God? What could make a man look squarely in the face of death and rejoice over it? And say to the world, "Thank you, world, I'm leaving you now." And look forward to going on to the other side. Sometimes I wonder if we today can have that kind of confidence that he had. What gave him that confidence? Maybe it was because he was a Christian. He understood Christianity. And he understood what sin will do to separate man from God. And we know that man is separated from God by sin. Isaiah makes this clear. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Sin is the cause of spiritual death. Sin will take away any element of rejoicing that you could possibly have in life. And its end is horrible. Paul tells us that in Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. And as long as you have sin in your life, you are apart from God. You have been separated from God and cannot be with him. The Apostle Paul was told the very same thing about becoming a Christian. There are some things that must take place to have God as a part of your life. We must make our lives right with God in order to be forgiven by him, in order to have salvation and to live with him. It was the same thing that Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins." It was the same thing that Peter told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. When Cornelius and his family received the Holy Spirit, Peter said, "How can we forbid water to these who have received the Holy Spirit as we have?" And in verse 48 it says that he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It is the same thing that Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch. We read of this in Acts the 8th chapter. He sat down with the eunuch in the chariot and he preached unto him Jesus. And when they came to water, the Ethiopian eunuch had already heard about baptism. And he says, "What hinders me from doing this?" And they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. You see, the answer is the same. The answer is always the same. It has always been the same. As it was told to the Apostle Paul when he faced Ananias. "And why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And my friends, when we do this, we should have tremendous confidence, because God has washed our sins away. We are now a part of his kingdom, his family, the Christian world. And that should give us tremendous confidence. Maybe Paul was confident because he had endured hardships and he knew what it was like to suffer as a Christian. You know, Jesus made a statement back in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22 about hardships of a Christian. He said, "You will be hated for my name's sake. And he who endures to the end will be saved." Shortly after becoming a Christian, the Jews plotted to murder him. Faithful Christians initially didn't want anything to do with him. He was starting his journey as a child of God in a very difficult manner. But yet he rejoiced about that. Some of his fellow workers even quit on him. John Mark in Acts the 15th chapter. Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He knew what it was like to suffer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul testifies there were so many things that he endured because of Christ. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was left for dead. And he suffered through every one of these things. And when all of these things were over, he said, "Lord, I rejoice. I am so glad that I am in your arms. Because there is nothing that the world can do to me to make me want to leave you." And just like Paul, we can have that kind of confidence. Even though we may endure difficulties in life because we are Christians, we must face hardships, people's tauntings, people's laughing, scoffing. And other people on this planet, even today, deal with the same persecutions that Paul had to deal with. Thankfully, we don't have to do that here, but some people do. But you know, not all of the hardships are caused by other people. Sometimes hardships come from Satan directly. We know this because of what happened to Job. Job was a godly man. And Satan tried to take that away from him, but he could not. God allowed him to suffer, knowing that he could overcome. And sometimes, my friend, God will allow us to suffer so that we can build our faith and build our Christian character, so we can endure hardships as they come upon us. But if we will endure to the end, we have that same home that Paul received. And we can have great confidence to know that no matter what the devil may do to us, no matter what the world may do to us, if we can keep faith in God, we can overcome these things and we can have that same reward. Paul was confident of that. Paul was confident because he had fought the good fight. You know, we find in Paul's writings, he often uses sports in his analogies of Christianity. He talks about running the race and looking ahead for the prize, that is, the reward at the end of the race. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 beginning, Paul said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. I press on to the goal for the prize in the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He's running a race. And the only way he can win that race is to finish the race. And I don't have to tell you that there are countless of people today who initially run this race, and then those hardships come. Worldliness comes. All of the things that get in our way as Christians come along. And we stop the race. Paul talks about striving for victory. But if you strive to be victorious in Christ, you have to strive by the rules. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "And also if anyone competes in athletes, as athletes, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." What rules? What kind of rules do we have in running our race? We have God's Word. It was complete. It is complete. It is thoroughly furnished to everything that we need. That's our rule book. And if we try to change it, or if we try to get around it, we're not going to finish the race. And we need to know that. Paul talks about training, and there must be training involved. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 and 27, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, but not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Basically, what Paul is telling us, that we never give up. We never stop the race. And we always follow the rules. And if we will follow the rules, and if we will finish the race, then there is going to be the reward. But we must keep striving. We must keep working at it. John tells us if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light means that we get back up when we fall, because we all fall. And the fact that we can get up, and the fact that we can come back to the Lord, and that we can continue the race, and that we can continue to fight for God, should give us confidence that that reward is waiting for us on the other side. Paul could have been confident because he had kept the faith. You know, we are told in so many places that we need to keep our faith. I think Jude says it good in verse 3. That we are to earnestly contend for the faith. You know, Paul did not give in to the pressures of life and compromise his faith. Some people were demanding that in order to become a Christian, that first of all you had to be a Jew. That was not true. Paul said, no, Christianity is for all. It's not for one race. And it's not going to leave any race out. They were adding a step that God never commanded to the plan. Faith, as delivered by God, is not to be changed. Anyone who attempts to change what God has delivered to us is in danger of two things. We find it in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, the holy city, and the things which are written in this book. It's a deadly thing, my friends, to change what God has given us. We need to simply leave it alone and follow it as it is. Maybe Paul was confident because he was simply prepared to die. You know, I would like to think that all of us in this room is prepared for that same thing. I think there's a difference. There's a lot of us that really don't relish it coming. We fear it because it's unknown. It's human nature. Paul had overcome those fears. He was ready for it. He said, look, Timothy, I've done all the right things. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I know what is waiting on me. I know that there is a crown of righteousness there, and it's in the Lord's hand, and he is going to give it to me on that day. But he's not just going to give it to me. He's going to give it to everyone who has finished the race. Everyone who has endured the problems and the trials of this life, the ones who love him, the ones who have followed him, the ones who have obeyed him. And he tells you and me that we can fight that same fight, and that we can endure that same and finish that race, and we can keep our faith, and we can have that same crown of life that Paul received. Paul had a lot of confidence. He was a Christian. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. He endured hardships. He overcame them with his love for God. He fought the good fight. He kept the faith. I ask you tonight, my friends, do you have that kind of confidence in your Christian life? Do you have that kind of faith that will allow you to work for the Lord, to endure the problems of this life, and to never quit. This is what God expects of you. He expected that of the great apostle Paul. And Paul did what God expected. Do you have that kind of confidence to do all of these things? It may be tonight that you're not a Christian. I want to tell you tonight, God can give you spiritual confidence. If you will give your life to Him through obedience to the gospel, He can give you the things that you need to run this race. He can give you the things that you need to help you endure. And when this life is over, He will give you that goal, eternal life. And Christian friend, I just wonder, maybe have you lost the confidence that you have at one time put in your God? Have you seen things in this life that appeal to you more than God? Have you seen things in this life that have caused you to turn your head and to turn away from your Christianity? You need to change tonight, because it's taken away your confidence. You can get it back by simply coming back to the Lord. As I said, Paul had all the confidence in the world because he knew who he was and he knew whose he was. And you can have that too by being a Christian or returning your life as a Christian. Tonight, if you need to respond, please come as we sing.